This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice in it.
Amen. The sermon for this Cantata Sunday is according to St. John's Gospel. Now in the Gospel text for today, it's part of Jesus' his farewell to his disciples before his death and resurrection in this Easter season, the 40 days between the resurrection and ascension. We ponder what Jesus said before his victory on the cross to prepare us for what is to come. That is the ascension, also the day of Pentecost when the whole church received the Holy Spirit. In the verses preceding our text, Jesus told them something a little bit hard to take. Boy, if you had been in Bible study, you'd go, well, that's consistent. Because God says things that are hard for people to hear. And in this case, it was, these things I have spoken to you so that you will not be scandalized. They will drive you out of the synagogues, and the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he's serving God. And this they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me, but I have told you this so that when the time comes, you remember that I had told you. But this I did not tell you at the beginning because I was with you. These are the words, and the following are words that comfort for the disciples and for us. And you might be going, really? In what way? How do you figure? Jesus told them that the days of trials and difficulties will come, and they did. But he would not stay with them in a visible form. He says, I'm going to the Father. This fourth Sunday after Easter is called Cantata in Latin, which means sing. So our psalm is in the psalm, sing to the Lord a new song, because he has done wonders. Well, what wonders are those? What is the reason for joy in our songs? This hymn that we just sung by Martin Luther is remarkable in that sense. Truly, the disciples were not acting like they were filled with joy. They were saddened. Therefore, the Lord said to them, but now I am going to the one who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have told you these things, sadness has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is necessary for me to leave, because if I do not go, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I leave, I will send him to you. You know, and as I read this over in the original language, it's pretty clear. It would be better for Jesus to leave. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit, which we confess is the Lord and giver of life. That's not just something we say. We actually believe it when we confess it in our creeds. According to the plan of salvation, it was necessary for the Son of God to put aside his divine nature, and he came down from heaven to be born of the Virgin Mary, grow up as the son of Joseph the carpenter, to fulfill the law in our places, suffer and die on the cross in our places, and rise on the third day. In addition, to return to the Father in his divinity and in his human form. In this state, the Father who sent the Son to earth and the risen Christ who could both send the Holy Spirit to the church. So as we look, the ascension of Jesus as true God and true man, his human nature was glorified. Therefore, the Holy Spirit can work the glorification of you in your humanity. As your Lord, you will die. You will also be resurrected. So says St. Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, on the final day, all believers, alive or dead, shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, this topic came up this week. Some folks refer to this as being something science fiction writers call the rapture, but they believe that it will happen before the coming of the Lord in glory. But this is not the truth at all. Everything will happen on the same day. In that culture, to be seated at the right of the king meant the king has given you all his authority. Because of his ascension, Jesus received all the authority of the Father, not only as his son, but also as the descendant of King David, to share our humanity and at the same time to govern the universe. It's a big picture. It's a lot to take in. He is not with us now in visible form, but through the work of the Holy Spirit, he lives in us. By the power of the Holy Spirit, heaven and earth were created, and also by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Virgin Mary conceived Jesus without an earthly father. The Spirit entered Mary and made flesh the Word in her womb. We receive the Holy Spirit in baptism. Then the body and blood of the Word made flesh in the Holy Supper. The Christian life begins with baptisms and the gift of faith. The work of the Holy Spirit continues until our resurrection to receive life and glory. I just want to be clear. When I said he's not here in his visible form, I was not somehow magically excluding the sacraments where he promises to meet you. He will meet you in the Word of God, in the Word of God that you heard today from the lectern, in the very sacrament of holy baptism, in his true body and blood given and shed for you. Christ has not left us alone, but he has left us with his means of grace so that you are never, ever alone. Now we are God's hagioi, his saints, his holy ones, and sinners still. But in that day, we will be resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit to live with Jesus forever. This is the consolation. Jesus was to ascend to the Father, leaving his disciples in a sinful and dangerous world. Do not pretend that being a Christian means everything's going to be all right. If that TV preacher is saying that, turn it off. Trust me on this one. Your actual station in life is no different than the heathens. If you're looking for that to be your sign of salvation, your sign of Christianness, if that's a word, if it isn't, forgive me. But your being a Christian does not have to do with how successful you are in a world that Jesus basically calls a dumpster fire. The Christian life is one that begins, as I said, in baptism. That is a gift of the Holy Spirit, which works faith, life, and salvation in those both young and old. Now we are God's. He has made us his forever. And Jesus was to ascend to the Father, leaving us in this world. But when the promise of his presence in the world and in the sacraments by the Holy Spirit that the Father has sent us, he is never far. We have the testimony of the resurrection of Jesus. There is evidence of the reality of this event. But faith in the promise of eternal life only comes by the Holy Spirit. God works it in you that you believe this. There's nothing. I'm not that good of a preacher. I cannot sit here and go, step one, step two, step three, and I finally get enough things to where you go, I give up, I believe. It's actually, I baptize you into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit enters in and says, hey, old Adam, get out. belief is now in here. Receiving the forgiveness of sins in the body and blood of Jesus Christ says, I now have a good conscience before God in baptism, in the Lord's Supper, in the forgiveness of sins. I now can stand before God, not because I've been trying to prove myself to him, but to stand before him saying, I believe that I am the sinner I am called out as being, and I believe that you have forgiven me. That is a good conscience before God. And this good conscience is a promise of eternal life, even when the world looks like it's burning. The Holy Spirit is active in the Word, in the sacraments, not only for the sanctification of every believer, but also to gather and enlighten his whole church. That's why we gather here together. It's because God has specifically something to give you here. Too often people think they are doing something for him by showing up. But rather, when you are here, he does something for you. By the work of the Holy Spirit, you are not alone in this world. The Spirit calls the church to hear the word, receive the sacraments for the sake of the Holy Spirit. The scriptures are not simply ink and paper and wisdom of antiquity like the books of the philosophers or like too often the fortune cookies. But when you read the scriptures, you are reading the voice of Christ. When you look, when you hear the proclamation, when you hear myself or the elder reading the word of God, you are hearing what God says to you. And you notice, and this is important, God is saying the same thing to you and you and you and you and you and you as he's saying to me. There isn't a different message for you than for me. Pastors don't get a different message. We get the same one. I am saved by grace through faith. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That is the voice of Christ, giving us the reason we say, this is the day the Lord has made. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.